Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, let's go up, and set up a room,
Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James, and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room.
In the Christian tradition, based on Acts 1:13, the upper room was said to be the site of the Last Supper, i.e., the cenacle. But it was not the upper room found in Mark 14:15 and Luke 22:12 is the site of the Last Supper. However, the upper room in Zion, Acts 1:13, located on Mount Zion in the city of David, was the usual place where the apostles of Adonai Baruch stayed in Jerusalem. And according to the Rastafari Encyclopedia, based upon Acts 2:42, as it is written, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. It was thus the first church of the Nazarene, our black master and savior, Jesus Christ, and said by many to be the first Christian church.
Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James, and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes.
From the upper room of Zion, what they be on, distinguishing the light seeker from the peon. Rise, say it on us, lay upon us, knowledge that is eons. Old has it been told since the days of old, and I sit and watching the story unfold. Yeshua gave us the code, gave us the name, Ketamawi Hala Selassie, the first will reign. The opener, the book of the seven seals. Time for the gathering, it's the matter, and no, not the Vatican. Christ in his kingly character, we own that again. I'ma keep speaking the scriptures until I'm out of wind. Built on the true foundation, there's no shaking. There's no need of you hating, stop hesitating. How many of you have been waiting? In the upper room, we meeting in the upper room of Zion.
These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room.
Upper room podcast here. Also, we call it sometimes Torah Thursdays. Right here, as such on this kid Oshin, we have a double portion right here. Aharimot, after death of the two sons of Aharon, of Aaron, and Kedoshim. Kedoshim, where he who be, we be, says, be ye holy, set apart. Kedoshim, as he who be, we be, is Kadosh. Holy, 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 yes.
Double force. Study this. I and I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong.
So here at day five, known as Thursday among the Gentiles of the nations, but here at the fifth day of the Shabuah, here at the fifth Aliyah, here in a double portion.
And here, Shema Yisrael, here, for the Sheni Aliyah for Kedoshim, here in a double portion, it's the Hamishi. Here we are at the fifth in a double portion, Kershahain Mahov, in a double portion. Here, picking up with Leviticus chapter 19, here at verse 15, the Sheini Aliyah for Vayikra Kedoshim for the 30th Torah portion reading and feeding is the Chamishi, the fifth up offering, the fifth Aliyah. Here, here, here. Lo ta isu arel ma ba misha pata lo tisa fine dala wilo tehedara pene gadol bi edeka tishpota e mi teka. Ye, y'all, shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou, the eye, shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor favor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Lo ta'isu awella ba mishpata. Y'all, ye shall not do unrighteousness in judgment. Lo ta'isu awel, lo ta'isu awella ba mishpata, lo tisa fine dal. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, show undue favoritism to the person of the poor because they're poor. Lo tisa fine dal with lo tehedara bene gadol be edek, nor favor the person of the mighty in righteousness. Bezedek tishpota miteka, tishpota miteka. But in righteousness, bezedek, shalt thou judge thy neighbor, tishpota miteka. Lo ta isu avella ba mishpata, lo tisa fine dal, ulo tehedara bine gadol, bis edeka tishpota emiteka, 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 emiteka.
And the beginning of the second Aliyah, the Sheni. The Sheni here at verse 15. Lo ta isu awel ba mishpat lo tisa fine dalaw lo tehidar Bine gadol bisedeka tishpota emiteka. Ye y'all shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. Ani Yahuwah, I be Jehovah, he who be who he be. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor, and not suffer chatiat, sin, akari, upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ani Yahuwah, I be Jehovah, he who be who he be. Ye, y'all, shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. Aye. And whosoever lieth carnally with a woman that is a bondmaid betrothed to an husband, and not at all redeemed, nor freedom given her, she shall be scourged. They shall not be put to death, because she was not free. And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Yahweh, he who be who he be, to the Petach, the door of the Ohel Moed, of the tabernacle of the congregation, the tent of meeting, even a ram for a trespass offering. And HaKohen, the priest, shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, Lifnei Yahuwah, before Jehovah, for his chatiat, for his akari, his sin, his lack, his forfeiture, which he hath done. And the chatiat, the akari, the sin, the lack, the forfeiture, which he hath done, shall be forgiven him. And here's the fulfillment of the second Aliyah, the Sheni, and here at verse 23, we pick up with the Shalishi, the third Aliyah, the Shalishi, at verse 23. Ki tabou illa ha'aretza unat aitem kola eit ma ikal wa iraltem ara lato et piyo shalosh shanim yihye lakem irelim lo Ya Akel. Verse 23 for the Shalishi, the third Aliyah. And when ye y'all shall come into the land and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then ye shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be as uncircumcised to you. It shall not be eaten of. But in the 4th year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy, set apart to praise the Yahweh, he who be who he be, with all. And in the 5th year shall ye, y'all, eat of the fruit thereof, that it may yield to you the increase thereof. Ani Yahuwah Elohekem, I be the Yahweh, he who be, who he be, your Elohim. Ye, y'all, shall not eat anything with the blood. Neither shall ye use enchantment nor observe times. Ye all shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beard. Ye all shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. Ani Yahweh, I be the Yahweh, he who be, who he be, Jehovah. Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness, wretchedness. Ye all shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. Ani Yahweh, I be Jehovah. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, Obia, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. Ani Yahweh Elohim, I be Jehovah, your Elohim. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, the gray head, and honor the face of the old man, and fear and reverence, respect Eloheka, the I Elohim. Ani Yahuwah, I be Jehovah.
Yes, yes, yes. Sis Aliyah right there. Sis Aliyah in a double portion. We have a double portion, Acharei Mot, after the death, specifically after the death of the two sons of Aharon, and Kedoshim, Holy One Saints. It's interesting from the read right there in the Kedoshim portion, second and third Aliyah right there, as it's read when it's a double portion, so we have seven slices of that sabbatical manna, that bread right there. So here for the fifth Aliyah here, also on the fifth day of the Shavuot, the week, we have that Aliyah right there, those Aliyots there as one in the double portion. What's interesting is how we treat our woman and the daughters and what happens in the land. Kind of a interesting connection to land, the Eret, often referred to as she, and what it says about, you know, not to prostitute the daughters because then the land fails. So how ones treat their woman and their land, just reasoning, just a little reasoning, because we often go through the basics of study to learn and learning to do, but we also got to reason on this and see how the spirit, right, the principles of the word are also scientifically applicable. You know how ones treat their woman and what kind of country they live in. I'm talking about naturally, you know, according to the natures. But here,
for this double portion, sabbatical study, this I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong.
Blessed be Ab, Ubu, Manfak, Sadu, Adu, Amlak, Aman. Princess has come out of Egypt. Ethiopians now stretches forth their hands unto God. O God of Ethiopia, our divine majesty, thy spirit has come into our heart to dwell in the path of righteousness. Leads us. Help us to forgive that we must be forgiven. Teach us love, loyalty on earth as it is in Zion. Endure us with thy wisdom, knowledge and understanding to do thy will. Thy blessing to you, that the hungry be fed, the naked be clothed, the sick nourish, the aged protected, and the infants cared for. Deliver us from the hands of our enemies, that we may prove fruitful in these last days, when our enemies are past and decay, in the depths of the sea, in the depths of the earth, or in the bowels of a beast. Oh, give us all a place in thy kingdom forever. Selah. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Jah, thou art the strength and our Redeemer, that liveth and reigneth in the heart of man.
Yes, I. So let's just unpack right here, just a few matters here on the Upper Room of Zion here, the Thursday podcast, also sometimes called Torah Thursday. So we have a double portion here. Aharemot, after death, the 29th sabbatical study, and the 30th, Kedoshim, or Kedoshim, holy ones. There's a couple of very interesting points, mainly was from Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15. To verse 22 for the second, and then the third here in the double portion from Leviticus 19:23 to 1932. Interesting, 1932. What a year, what a year. Now, some very interesting points. It begins off first saying that y'all shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. In judgment. You know, like for my friend, he's my brethren, so I let him slide on that, but you're not my brethren, so you can't, you know, them unrighteousness and judgment, the same judgment for both, whether it's your good buddy, your bona fide, or it's the other guy, right? Y'all shall do no unrighteousness and judgment. But let's put this chapter in context. We're zooming in right here. Let's go to the top of the chapter, Leviticus chapter 19. This is to unpack and reason for those who are able to be reasonable right now. So give ear, Shema Yisrael, Shemuli, hear I. The relationships and walk, and the walk, the trod, walking in and out. There's a relationship. So I and I say, I and I is Rastafari. So there must be a relationship if we call I and I ourselves Rastafari. Is Rastafari the man, or is it the movement? Or is it both? And in what way? What's the relationship? The relationship and the walk and the trod of Jah's earthly people continued here in Leviticus chapter 19, here in the third book of Moshe, of Moses, known in the Hebrew as Vayikra. In the modern Hebrew, they might call it Vayikra, Wa and Yikra, and he called. Many, enough, a call. But what do you choose? So here we choose to study to show I and I self approved. So here in chapter 19, Leviticus, the relationships and the walk or the trod, like walking it out, the trod, right? To say I and I tried and I and I yad and tried and Rastafari, walking it out of Jah's earthly people. The earth is Yahuwah's, right? And all of her fullness, right? The Psalm Psalm 24, yes. So here, and Yahuwah spake to Moshe, Moses, saying, verse 2, Leviticus 19, speak to all the congregation, the aggregation, right? All those gathered together to be a witness to this, right? The edat, the congregation from the word ed is like a testimony. So the witnesses, right, of the B'nai Yisrael. The Hebrew B'nai is literally directly sons of Yisrael, Yasharala, the sons of Israel. And say to them, y'all shall be Kedoshim. Get it? Kedoshim. As a 30th sabbatical study right here, it's called Kedoshim or Kedoshim, holy ones. For I, Ani, Yahuwah, Elohekem, I, he who be who he be, y'all Elohim, am holy, or Kadosh. As we have that in Yeshaya, Isaiah, where he had that vision in the temple and thing, right? All the Aishans and the smoke was there, and he saw the Lord on the throne and all that. And he heard the seraphim, right? He heard them saying, holy, holy, holy. Another sign of the true Trinity. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. But here he says directly here to Yisrael, Yahuwah Jehovah HaKadosh, the Holy One, Kadosh, get it? Kadosh HaKadosh, the Holy One, Baruch Hu, blessed be he, Baruch Hashem, the name Yahuwah. So here he says, y'all, you all, Atem, speaking to the sons, right, to mine up, y'all shall be Kedoshim, holy ones. Now, that word holy often in translation, a lot of confusion in the English and Gentile language of a holy, you know, what people think holy. And then in the translators will take the very same, the one Hebrew Afro-Shemitic word, whether Kadash in the Hebrew sense or Kedeset, right? Kedeset, whether Kadosh or Kedus, that same African Semitic root. And in some places they'll translate it as saint. Other places they'll translate it maybe as consecrated one or holy one or sanctified one. And we might begin to think it's a lot of, well, I prefer to be holy than sanctified. No, I prefer to be a saint than a holy one. You know what I mean? Because we're playing around. We're not playing around, maybe intentionally, but because we're in this Babylon linguistics. So we have to come out of it. Like, be in the world. We speak English, but not be of it. Right, so we have to study to shew ourselves approved. So here is the key word for Kedoshim in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2, where it says, speak to the Edat, the congregation, the B'nai Yisrael, the sons of Israel, and say to them, right, y'all shall be Kedoshim, set apart ones. The best definition coming from the African Shemitic language, the Afro-Shemitic languages like Hebrew or even in the Amharic or the good is, the best, right, the most operative sense, what I mean by the best, is set apart. This is the basic sense of set apart, right? So he's saying, be set apart once, for I, Yahuwah, Jehovah, he who be who he be, HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, your Elohim, Elohekem, am Kadosh. That's how it begins. Now, what's interesting is that verse 3, it's just reasoning, a little reasoning, unpacking, as some may say, of this Torah reading and feeding, because most time we're going through it so we can get a basic hear and ear. It reminds I and I of what Gormawi Nagusa Neges, His Imperial Majesty, Gormawi Haile Selassie, said in that audible that, you know, we like to play as a regular reminder. You know, do the lions roar? You know how it goes?
My advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments. You are aware of the contents of the Ten Commandments,
and elaborate on. You heard, and we can.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel? Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Adonai Echad. Adonai
Echad. It's interesting because Gadamari Negus and Negas, the King Messiah, the King of Kings, says that you're all like familiar, right? You know, with it, right? With the commandments, and may do what? Elaborate. So here's what we just are reasoning. We call it reasoning. We're reasoning on this right here. So here for the second part of the double portion, right? Because in years like this where they double up, where you have to just use the time wisely to try to unpack and get a good, you know, groundation on what's being said here. You know, just what is it saying? You know, not how we feel about it, not our feelings. You know what I mean? Feelings are good servants, but poor masters. Right, but just to understand, get a basic understanding. So what is being said here and to whom it's being said? Here in verse 3 it says, y'all shall fear or reverence, right? Like you say, respect or reverence, every man, his mother and his father. Check. Now that sounds a lot like the 10 words, the 10 commandments. Recall the 10 commandments, the 10 words. Remember the 10 words? What does it say? What's a similar sounding verse in the 10 words? Right? Honor, right? How does it go? Honor thy what? Thy father and thy mother, right? Then the promise comes after it, you know, that yea and amen, that your days be long in the land, that Yahuwah, thy Elohim, thy power, thy nature of nature giveth to thee. Right? But here in the handbook of the priests, note that the mother, right, the mother principle is first, and the verb is not honor, but the verb here in the English is fear or reverence, right? Thou shalt reverence. Remember that Leviticus is mainly, right, the handbook of the priesthood, and it's concerning, we say, the foundation and the holy place. Right, covenantally speaking, concerning the sanctuary, the holy place, we could say the spirituality of the B'nai Yisrael, these principles for this people that was birthed, right, out of the Tawi, out of the two lands, Mitzrayi, right, or euphemistically speaking, Kemet. Here it says, y'all shall reverence, fear, reverence every man, his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I, Yahweh Elohim, I be he who be who he be, your Elohim. So note that the fear thy mother. Now, what I've pointed out before, but I'll point out a little more explicitly here, for an Israelite, or one who's of Israel specifically, because they speak to who? The children of Israel. And say speak to the children of this or the children of that. The only kind of similarity or connection we get outside of Yisrael is with verses like, you know the verse, Amos 9 and 7. I know, I just played it again.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, children of Israel, saith the Lord.
And what we get historically and testified and even within scripture prophecy is another nation coming into a similar, right, a similar relationship, right, as the B'nai Yisrael. But strictly speaking here in HaTorah, it is speaking to the sons of Israel. Now here saying to them as regarding the holy. So we say, like, you know, there's a term MF, right, Mother Ukka, as it were. What's interesting is mother, of course, is a person. It's our mother, but it's also a principle, right? And notice here in the handbook of the priests concerning the sacred and the holy, the mother principle is put forward and the verb is changed from not just honor, because honor is honor and respect is respect or reverence is reverence, but the mother. Torah, from a Hebrew perspective, is feminine. The Torah. So Yahweh Eloheinu, Jehovah our Elohim, right? He who be who he be, bringing out the more Hebraic sense into basic simple English. It is what it is, right? It is what it is. He who be who he be, right? And he brings out his attributes to show who he be. He be the kind, the gracious, the loving, the merciful. He be the truth, all of that, right? And Mo, right? But what's interesting right here is the Torah is the mother, is feminine. When we're reading in the Hebrew scripture and it speaks of Torah, it speaks of Torah in the divine double helix in the feminine sense. So he who be who he be has given she his direction, instruction. So when one violates she, they become, as a term that the Lord sheep like to use, a mother ukka. You know, a mother ukka. So to go against the Torah is like to go against your mother. Not your mother, but a higher covenantal sense of mother. How do we know this? Well, we turn to Shlomo, right? Solomon, right? This is the wisest man of his time, you know? So Solomon, what does Solomon say in his proverbs? Mishle Shlomo, right? The Mashal, the Mashlim, the parables, allegories, right, of Solomon. What does he say in the first chapter, right? What is it, 1 and 8, my son? Another way of saying, my disciple, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. The Torah, already feminine, Torah, right, of thy mother. And here in Leviticus, it's an interesting re-emphasizing of the role of honoring the mother and father, well, the honoring of father and mother, but here we have the reverencing of mother and father, and then the connection of the Sabbaths. And the Sabbath also brings out another kind of a feminine sense, right, of covenant keeping with he. With he, you got to keep she. I want you to overs that. See, this is not what's brought out in Gentile Christianity because, you know, it's Frankenstein language, it's English, and their conception that this is not really theirs. It was a borrowed thing for a borrowed time, you know, but now it's like, you know, the lost sheep are coming home, right, to our own knowledge. Now, I just point to that at the beginning here of Kedoshim, just as a context, a contextual, right? Now, zooming forward to the specifics here from the fifth Aliyah for the double portion, but namely the second and third, right? The second and third here in the double portion is the fifth, right? The second and third right here in Kedoshim, the 30th sabbatical study, will be the fifth in a double portion, the 29th and the 30th. We can get into how it's seven readings, and then when we have two Torah portions together, how it's broken down, those two as seven. So here we're in the second part of this double portion, and at verse 15 it says, y'all shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. You know the psalm everyone likes to talk about, like, we're all gods. I mean, even the Bible says so, like in Psalm 82. Yeah, it does say so in Psalm 82. You know, but it says so in Psalm 82 in this very context specifically, because even though Psalm 82 is a part of what belongs in that sense to the children of Israel. So all of this kind of goes together when we rightly, as it says, divide the word and we rightly connect the word. Because if we look at Psalm 82, right, what does Psalm 82 say right here? Psalm 82 is an interesting psalm. It's a Tuesday evening psalm. And this psalm is a psalm often that people point to verse, what is that, verse 6, 82, verse 6, where it says, I've said ye are gods, so we all gods, you know, everybody's a god. No. Get off of that Gentile-minded stuff. This is specifically speaking to the sons of Israel, right? They were Elohim in the sense of judges. They were called and chosen in that covenant keeping for a specific duty and responsibility that Psalm 82 says that they have shirked. They've shirked their responsibility. They have fallen short. Psalm 82 says that the children of Israel have been caught lacking, right? Where it says that God standeth in the congregation of the mighty or the mighty, right? The gods, literally in the Hebrew says that, you know, God standeth in the congregation of the El. So the Elohim stands in the congregation of the El, the Hayel, Hayel, right, the mighty one. He judges among the Elohim. And what's the next verse? How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked, Selah? Defend the poor and fatherless and do justice to the afflicted and needy. This is what Torah is going over and over and over. You'll see it within the verses and what is pronounced. Even here where it says, y'all, speaking to the sons of Israel, right, to whom more is given, more is required, right? Even the language here is speaking to all the mandem as one mind, right, as one man. As it says that Christ is the Messiah is the head of man, and the head of Messiah is the Father. So there's an order. Y'all shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor, right, the person of the mighty, right? And here in Psalm 82, it says, how long will you judge unjustly, like with partiality, and accept the persons of the wicked, Selah? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked, of the ratchet. This is what the instruction in Torah, if they were followed, right, if the Torah theory was put into effect, would yield, but it had not. And here in Psalm 82, it's a judgment on the unjust judges. We can say the unjust gods or the sons of Yisrael to whom more was given and who had fallen short. We could also say to I and I as Rastafari, we're Rastafari and the others are not Rastafari. And they say, well, you're Rastafari and that's Rastafari Kedemah Haile Selassie. How come he's about this and you're about so much less? That's not bless, right? Let's be less, right? Fourth verse, it says, deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Verse 5 is an interesting verse, ain't it? They know not. Who don't know? The poor and needy, right? Who do you think had time to study the Torah, right? You know, it was given to the Levites, right? But the children of Israel was to be given a basic, you know, a basic understanding. What is your duties and responsibilities? Summed up here in Psalm 82, where it says, defend the poor and fatherless, do justice, afflict the needy, deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked, the ratchet. They know not. Neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. And then like we say, like one's in the dark, one is not enlightened, so to speak. Like all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Verse 6 now basically hits the nail on the proverbial head. I have said, the same one who it says God or Elohim, the Elohim, the judges, to bring out this psalm from the Hebrew, the judges. Like the judges of Israel, the Shoftim, who are called the Elohim because they act as agents of Yahuwah Eloheinu, the Elohim, that we are now standing, right, in the congregation of the El, of the Almighty, High El, High El, the Almighty Power. And is he who is judging now amongst us as the Elohim. Now, when does Israel stand in that sense? At the three times of the year, the three pilgrim festivals, three times in the year shall all the males of Yisrael appear right before Yahuwah, before Jehovah, in a active sense, a overt sense, that's in the place that Jehovah has set his name among the tribe, that he set his name, and he set his name, we say, among the tribes of Benjamin and Judah. Well, we say the temple's on Benjamin's land, but that was co-opted and taken over by the tribe of Judah, right? And Benjamin and Judah, those two tribes together, but namely given over to the tribe of Judah. That's what we have the reference later on to the Jews, the Judeans, right? Because they were the last of Kol Yisrael still standing, right? When the 10 tribes had gone into captivity, it was only the tribe of Judah. And thus the lion of the tribe of Judah. But here in verse 6, it says, I've said, y'all are gods or Elohim. Y'all are judges. You're supposed to be the judges. You're the children of Israel, right? And all of you are children of the Elyon, the highest, the Elyon. Verse 7 says, but y'all shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. And then there's an interesting verse 8 here. right, that can be looked at as this sense of that resurrection. Get up, stand up, arise, O Elohim, judge the earth, right? In the context here, people will be saying, when they're reading the English, they think, well, speaking about Elohim, you could say daddy. Well, really, it's speaking about his children, right? He's already the Most High, so he's already risen. You know what I mean? Arise, O Elohim, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations, to put the earth in proper order. Because if he is earth's rightful ruler, does he not have those who he has chosen, right, to be his administrators and his rulers? Let's play the KOK clip, the King of Kings clip right here. The King of Kings, kingdom building preview.
Fetish.
Test your knowledge. What is the King of Kings kingdom, and from where does it rule? Who rules in the kingdom, and who are its subjects? How has the King of Kings assured us that his kingdom is a reality? When did the appointed times of the nations begin and end?
So Psalm 82 is a good psalm to study side by side, especially here for Kedoshim, in the Kedoshim, where at verse 15, y'all shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor. Now, what's not brought out in translation is that in the Hebraic sense, to respect in this context is to show a partiality to a face. Showing partiality to a face. You know, like when you see your friend, you know, and then you see somebody who's not your friend, who you see you're partial to your friend. Okay, that's your friend. Okay, boom. But now if you're in a position to judge something, right, you are not to respect or show partiality to the person, to this person or that person, in this context here, to the person of the poor. I thought this was very interesting. A lot of times we say, oh, you know, the poor people and the rich, all the rich need to go to hell. You know, like, what? What the hell? You know, it's like, what kind of thing is this? You know what I mean? Does this mean that because people are poor, this makes them righteous because a person just happens to be poor? I'm not talking about circumstance, situation. Everybody, you know, got their story, got their situation, but just a general precept. That's why when we looked at this in the Torah, here in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15, thou shalt not respect, show favoritism to the person, the poor. So a rich man and a poor man come before you, right? And, you know, the poor man says, the rich man robbed me. How many people will be like, yep, that happened. They're always doing that. You didn't even hear the case. All you see, there's a poor guy and there's a rich guy, and you hear it's about the poor guy is saying that the rich guy robbed him. And you're saying, well, yeah, that has to be because in another case somewhere else, or you know about multiple cases of that happening over here, but you have not heard the case before you. Is that not to show a respect, or in the Hebraic sense, a recognition of faces, right? And in James' gospel goes, it speaks about that. Even though it buns up the rich and the way rich have exploited the poor as it's a general precept, but it does point that out, like you favor one person because they have on this kind of clothing or that kind of clothing. But notice what it goes on to say, nor honor the person of the mighty. Now the word honor, Hebraically the kabod and kavod sense, it's from like the kabbadah, even in Amharic. It's a word that can mean heavy. It has to do with weight. Basically, gravity. You know, that's what's so interesting when they talk about gravity in the so-called scientific terms. It came from a word, even in the English, that is used in the biblical sense for like honor, right? If someone you show honor to, that means like they have weight, the seriousness. You know, wait. It's not a light thing. You know, it's not a light thing. Don't treat, you know, your father, your mother lightly in that sense. You know what I mean? But these ones here says, may honor the person of the mighty. Oh, because you're going to favor that person, because if you rule against that person, you know, they got a lot of wealth, or they like to give out favors, bribes, so you're going to be partial to that person, right? But it says, here's what we ought to do. In righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. I think there's something interesting about this right here, right? People say, well, everybody is my neighbor. No, everybody's not my neighbor. I mean, just thinking objectively. You know, subjectively, yeah, you can feel that way, but just objectively speaking, in this sense, we have a community, right? This is what makes these, you know, these rules and regulation work. We're speaking about community, you know, not like I'm over here in Brooklyn on this block. I keep the Torah. Then between me and my next brethren or sister in like many blocks away, we got a bunch of heathen. You know what I mean? That's not really my neighbor over there in the same sense as if you lived in a community or society or kibbutz, so to speak, together, right? Then look at verse 16, Leviticus 19:16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, you know, like a gossip, you know? But this is what social media is all about, right? How often we get caught up, or they trying to catch us, they're trying to fish us, bait us, net us in that. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. Ani Yahuwah, I be he who be who he be. Verse 17 is an interesting verse, Leviticus 19:17. Not just to read it and hear it, but also to study, to learn, and to learn to do, to walk it out. Remember, relationships. Right, and that the walk, the tribe, right, of Jah's earthly people, because Jah's earthly people live this in the earth, you know what I mean? Then that kingdom truly can be established on this earth. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth, right? A lot of people want to run away, go to heaven. There's nothing there that says you have any right in heaven, you know? In the garden, yeah, maybe. What did you do? Verse 17 says, thou shalt not hate thy brother. Hear this one. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Isn't that interesting how it's worded here? Hate thy brother in thy heart. But you don't know if maybe the brother hates you, right? But he put on a good face, a good show of it, but in his heart, right? Heartical, to the heart of the matter. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor. Check that. It's saying that for Yisrael, the B'nai Yisrael, the sons of Yisrael, we all are brothers one to another. And based on that, therefore, all as neighbors. Notice what it says. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke or correct or check your neighbor, your brother. And not suffer sin, chatiyat, lack, right? So he's lacking. You're not going to say, yo, bro, you lacking on that. You sinning. You arcing up on that, bro. Yo, you know, you're not going to say that. Even if you had love in your heart, by keeping that in your heart and not speaking on it, right, you begin to have hate. You ever want to tell somebody about somebody? You say, no, I'm not going to tell them. But the more you don't tell them, it's like you get maybe funny feelings, because you know what that funny feeling is? You're supposed to tell them. You know, pull them on the side. Not to expose them on social media. Pull them on the side. Hit them up. DM them. DM them. Right? DM them. Da-dum-dum. Right? Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor. Correct thy neighbor. And not suffer. This is the interesting part here. Suffer chatiyat, sin, lack. That means, in a sense, you become party to that. Because in that case, you know your brother was lacking, he was falling short, he was ucking up, or your sister, but you're not going to say nothing, right? So when everything is said and done, you're party to that. You're accomplice. Accomplice act after the fact. That's what they call it, right? After the fact. You see, because remember we're talking about judges, the Elohim, right? The Elohim, the judges, right? The judgment name of Yahuwah. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge. Any what? Any grudge, See, you can say, well, some of the ain't right Israelites, they're offering this about Ethiopia, they're offering this, what they say about Haile Selassie, most of them, majority of them. However, right, we rebuke them. Right, we rebuke them. However, right, if you don't, you start to be a grudge against the children of thy people. Are you not as the children of the Ethiopians? Uh-oh. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. An interesting principle indeed. See, we hear this, right? We hear, love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, love your neighbor as yourself. We say it, but do we stop and say, what does this mean, Habering? Love my neighbor as, wait. So I love myself, right? So therefore that means I really should love my neighbor, my brother, like I love myself. But what if I didn't really love myself? You know, what if you don't really love yourself? Right? So it's a very interesting reason. I'm just sharing some highlights right here because I was thinking, saying, sometimes we're upset, saying, oh, the brethren, we're not showing a lot of love one to another. That brother don't show a lot of love, or I show him love. But have you ever thought that maybe he don't love himself? Think about it. Maybe he's just giving you the same kind of love he has for himself. If he's really, you know, it says, love, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But look at the qualification. The qualification is first to love yourself. You see, hear people saying, you got to love yourself, man. Yeah, love yourself. You got to forgive yourself. I'm just testifying here, Ross, Iodonis, Yadin, right here, just testifying. When I first heard this a couple of decades ago, I said, "How? It's a curious thing. You know, from what I heard, I didn't find anything wrong with it, but it's like, you know, I said, you know, love, you know, like when people are like, love God, you got to love God, you got to love the Lord, you got to love, you know. But then when I started to read and study the scripture, I came across verses like this, where it says, and thou, speaking to the eye, speaking to eye, shall love thy neighbor, my brother, as myself. So what's the first thing you got to check? You got to check what sort of love you got for yourself, right? And sometime if you're on the reverse end of this, maybe ones have mixed up moods and attitudes for you because they have mixed up moods and attitudes for themselves. Right? Ani Yahuwah, I be he who be who he be, right? So now just scrolling forward right here, because we have a psalm, today's daily psalm, but here just to reason. Let's go to the third Aliyah for Kedoshim, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23, where it says, and when ye all shall come into the land. So we have rules, regulations, so to speak, direction, instructions, right, for man, right, for one and one, for the woman, you know, a few for the woman, you know, but namely for the man, not for the man. It's like we have to be reminded. Notice it doesn't say to a woman directly. Torah does not say directly to a woman, right, you shall reverence your mother and your father. No, it says directly to the man. It's almost like we men them, we men them. Right? When them, men, them, have to be reminded of some things, right? It's kind of interesting, right? You know, some things. Remember the whole Garden of Eden, you know, what Moshe wrote in his first book, you know, concerning the Garden of Eden and Adam and his Isha, his woman. You remember that whole scene right there, right, about the knowledge of good and evil, right? And this is what we're gaining here, right? Because you could do this. This is the right thing, right? And if thou shalt not do the wrong thing, right? But here we get to verse 23, right? And it says, and when y'all shall come into the land, so there's rules and regulations, direct instructions for man, and there's direct instructions for the land. Sustainable repatriation. I know, the reason why more wasn't done is because we're claiming his name, saying that he, you know, this is our God and King, you know, right? And Christ in his kingly character. And then we swerve and not even taking the time to, you know, study to learn and learn to do, right? So we get into the land and we're looking around like, what are we supposed to be doing? Jah already told us what we're supposed to be doing, right? And when y'all shall come into the land and shall have planted all manner of trees for food. Pause. When we come into the land, so let's just take this theoretically. If we were informed of this and we recognize who His Majesty is to I and I, and what that land is for I, and who I and I are, right, and who I and I be. And we go into land. According to this, we're to be planting all manner of trees for food, not just, yeah, man, I'm going to have a ganja farm. Ganja, that's all you're going to be growing all the time? What you going to eat, man? You know, you know, yeah, you can eat that, but you know what I'm saying? In the fullness of it, all manner of trees for food, right? Then shall your count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. Interesting. Got to read some more on this. Uncircumcised fruit, right? 3 years shall it be as uncircumcised to you. It shall not be eaten of. That's an important agricultural thing in this. When I read it, like many of you all, you're probably like, well, why would that be? What they're going to eat? And there's a lot of questions. Let's reason on that as well. This is the overview right here. But the idea that the fruit, right, of that will be uncircumcised. I learned more about the principle, the agricultural science of this when I started to study wine and winemaking, that how many winemakers, right, and they plant a new something for the first couple of years. They grow it. They keep growing the wine, but they don't make, I mean, the grapes, but they don't make wine out of that first growth, right? It's almost like the land, everything is adjusting and sinking to get in that right zone, right? And then when it says 3 years shall it be as uncircumcised to you, it should not be eaten of. So in a documentary I saw about winemaking, where I heard the winemaker said that back in the days or whatever, they would, like, you know, grow the grapes and everything, but they would not make wine out of those first, you know, that first set. They would wait until, like, the fourth or the fifth year. I said, oh, shit. You know, and this is like some top-level wineries, you know, with that quality, you know, stuff right there. Verse 24, but in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy. Remember, it says we are to be kedoshim, set apart ones. So all the fruit thereof shall be set apart to praise, to Isis, to praise Yahuwah, to praise Jehovah. So look at that with the fruit. Even this emphasis on the fruit, it didn't say all the debtors, all the dead animals, all the sacrifice. No, it says all the fruit, right? All the fruit thereof, right? And Jehovah planted a what? A garden, right? Verse 25, and in the fifth year, get this, in the fifth year shall y'all eat the fruit thereof. So that means that there is, when we first enter in, we just go and start planting. We start planting all manners of trees. You know, and we tented over those 3 to 4 years, right? Looking forward to the fifth year. That's the 5-year plan, right, for the land. And in the fifth year shall y'all eat the fruit thereof, that it may yield to you the increase thereof. Ani Yahuwah Elohekem, I be he who be, we be y'all Elohim, right? Now, going on a little bit more right here, verse 26, y'all shall not eat anything with the blood. It's interesting that there's two particular things that are emphasized over and over, no blood and no fat. I find the second one to be interesting nowadays because it just seems like people are conscious of trans fat and reducing their fat intake. Everybody's, oh, because it keeps you healthy, you keep you organic and all that. And I said, chant, Jah told the children of Israel way back when, cut off that fat, right, burn it up, right, on the altar, you know. Some incense here, some incense there, and go on with your business, you know? So if you're going to eat the meat, don't eat the fat and no blood, right? And it's interesting because, like I said, today, this whole trans fat, this conscientiousness about fat, you know, is, I guess they caught up after a couple of Gentiles caught up, right? What about the children of Israel? It says, neither shall y'all use enchantment nor observe times. Now, each of these are interesting points because there's many that would tell you and say it means this, it means that. From studying the Hebrew, the Royal Amharic, and going to some of the ancient languages, I find it's a little bit more study than what people have been made to believe. You know what I mean? What it's really speaking about. Enchantment. Basically, enchantment is to use other spiritual practices other than that which is to Jehovah Eloheinu, basically.
You know what I mean? One could say that the rights of Israel is a form of, from their perspective, they say, you do the same thing. You have animals, you have the blood here, you do something with that. Yeah, but this is what we do. We're not to do, right, in Jah's covenant, what you do. That's what it's basically saying, right? We're not to do what they do, basically. Neither shall you use enchantment nor observe times. Verse 27, y'all shall not round the corners of your heads. This is kind of interesting. You know, that was one of the points. I got to know this from the early tribe in Rastafari, because men in the mind, the elders, then pointed this out, rounding the corners of our heads. You know, like some will have the locks up on top. I know some of y'all may have that, but if you're not really rocking with the covenant, then you're out of covenant. But if you're Israel, then you heard this, there's a possible judgment. Y'all shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beard. You know, all these kind of cuts. I think some of the other Israelites have gone into these kind of areas pretty well in some of what they put out in social media. You know, some of the haircuts that, you know, we as lost found sheeple have been about, you know, the goatee, for example, the goatee would not be a covenant beard, you know, a covenant-keeping beard. You know what I mean? And if our brother has that, what's up with the goat? You know, you want to be sacrificed, huh? Verse 28, y'all shall not make any cuttings in your flesh. This is a good one here, because people have asked, what about tattoos, Ross? What about tattoos? What about tattoos? Well, the Bible says, y'all shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. Ani Yahweh. I be he who be who he be. I be Jehovah. Now, let's unpack this briefly here. Y'all shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. I think that verse is kind of straightforward, because many peoples, many tribes and others have done that. What I find to be particularly interesting is his Matthew has this almost a whole chapter where he's reasoning with the priest. This is before, this is why he's Rastafari Mekonnen, why he's that prince and plenipotentiary and Davidic heir to Solomonic, the Davidic throne, where he's giving instruction. His Majesty, Haile Selassie, is giving instruction, right, to the church. Basically, what His Majesty is saying to them is, I've read in the scripture and the ancient churchical writings that this is the way, and you're not doing it this way. Stop doing that and do this. In fact, let's see if we can bring this up. Do we have this available? We're going to get into the song, brothers and sisters. Give me one. Okay, yeah, here we go. Here we go. It's in the autobiography, right? It's book one, right? It's book one. I want to share this on this point concerning, you know, what people call the dead and some of the excessive things that we do, and sometimes priests who are practicing or religious people who are malpracticing will encourage us in some of these ways that are not right in the Almighty sight. So there's a chapter here, let me see, about his instruction to the savants. Let me get this chapter here. So I had this marked in this, but it's where Matthew's given instruction, and he basically wanted to stop this hopeless mourning for the dead. He calls it the hopeless mourning for the dead. Now, when I read that a couple of decades ago, I was like, man, I said, yeah, because, you know, I was hearing from Rastafari, you could say I was hearing from certain Rastafari elders were, you know, sharing their, you know, experience, wisdom, and direction, instruction that they were sharing with I and I. And then when I got to read and study certain things concerning, well, what did Haile Selassie say about this or do about that? And then I was reading here in the autobiography, book one. Give me one moment, my brothers and sisters, just talking through this right here, trying to find this particular section. I thought I had this marked a little better here. But where he talked about the hopeless mourning for the dead, and he actually is reproving the priests. And then now this is prior, right? This is prior to the coronation, right? This is prior to coronation. This is prior to, one would say, well, in the coronation, he might be able to have, like, authority as the king's
of Ethiopia, because that ancient Solomonic, you could say even the Judaic foundations, right? They do, if they know God's word, right, they can check the priests. But if a priest, if a king does not know God's word, right, he doesn't have any authority. But if he knows God's word and the priests are off of something, you know, it's like playing, chess, basically. The rules are in your favor. Give me one moment, my brothers and sisters. One moment right here. Yes, I. Hold. The evening psalm before we ride up. I'm still going to find that quote. The quote that seems to be eluding I. Just want to read a portion of it and give you the exact chapter.
Psalm 81.
Mizmor pe alef lam natseya al hagittit le asaf.
Sing aloud unto God our strength.
Uzenu. Harninu l'Elohim uzenu.
Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob.
L'Elohe Yaakov. Hari'u l'Elohe Yaakov.
Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou calledst in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways! I should soon have subdued their enemies, and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him. But their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied, I have satisfied.
Yes. The evening psalm pointed here, as it is said, Psalm 81 chanted on the fifth day of the Shavuot, the fifth day of the week in the Temple of Jerusalem, and also contained in some of the ancient Orthodox Church, Ethiopian Tewahedo Church liturgies as the Thursday psalm. Also Judaically, it's a psalm also chanted on the fifth day. So here, we found the chapter. It was chapter 26, about our planning and initiating gradual improvements and reforms in the work of the clergy. This is between the time of after the death of Zoditu and right before the coronation, His Majesty says this right here. Since time immemorial, the kings of Ethiopia, just as they were responsible for the entire business of government, were also in charge of the affairs of the church. And let's sink in, because you got some apostasy among some EOTC of today that will try to tell you something different. But here, His Majesty Godomawi Nugusu Nagin says, since time immemorial, the kings of Ethiopia, just as they were responsible for the entire business of government, to say like the kingdom, were also in charge of the affairs of the church. They would select persons from among the savants and the learned and make appointments to, as well as dismissals from, office at the various churches and monasteries, and in general have the authority to control all their functions. Now, what's very interesting is that since it's the throne of David, right, the throne of the Lord, the throne of Solomon, which is the throne of David, when we start to look at what David did, it's David that appointed, of the tribe of Judah, that appointed an order for the Levitical priesthood that was followed up into the first century times. I just want to just point that out. We have Zechariah, you know, the father of John the Baptist, right? It says that he was offering the offering of Ishans. He was doing the Ishans offering, and it was his turn to do it. These turns, right, were brought in by David, right? And David's sons are also called in the Hebrew, they are called priests as well. And he set certain regulation, and the Psalms of David became the main liturgy from the Davidic times straight through unto the New Testament times. And of course, they have a lot of significance, you know, from a messianic perspective as well. So this is where His Majesty is drawing both historical as well as actionable record, right? But notice what he says furthermore. We'll get it right into this section here because the time is going forward. But with the gradual increase in government business and the occasional waging of wars against, the translator says, the pagans or the other nations in neighboring countries, they simply did not have the time to control in full the affairs of the church. So it's like the old parable, when the cat's away, the mice will. Consequently, there were many things detrimental to the ordinances of the church, which had an error, which had how? An error penetrated into the community of the clergy and had by custom, remember how Yeshua was bunning out certain traditions, and by custom, tradition, and by custom persisted. All right, so that's the opening of the 26th chapter of the autobiography, Hiwate Ena Ye Ethiopia Rimja. We're going to scroll forward. I love this particular chapter here. Many people like the Ethiopian, like the church, the Tewahedo wedding ceremony where the man and the woman are crowned like as king and queen. Well, it's interesting because this is all because of His Majesty. His Majesty revived that as well. As he says, furthermore, we arrange for Holy Mass, the Kedase, to be translated into Amharic and to be printed. And once it had been distributed in every church, the people began to understand when the text was read out in their own language. Even if not all of it, then at least the main part. It was likewise arranged for the Gospels, Acts of the Apostles, and the Epistles to be read to them in Amharic. Now he scrolls forward, he talks about the Tekla, the Metzhafe Teklil. That's the book that a copy of it was found, and he restored the crowning ceremony at the marriage service, you know, during His Majesty's times, you know. But this is the fourth point here in the 26th chapter where he says, in earlier times, when a person died, his family, in arranging the tezkar, right? The tezkar is like the zakar to remember. The tezkar is the memorial service. Would prepare tela. Tela is like beer, and tej. Tej is like honey mead or a hydromel, like honey wine, right? And other intoxicating matter, and would invite the priests to the house of the deceased. They would offer them food and drink beyond measure, right, to the priest, and would make them exceed what has been ordained. And as he's checking even the work of the priest in his times, he shall shew who is the blessed and the only potentate, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, conquering line of the tribe of Judah. He goes on to say, but now, so that was going on, but now, the Adis Zemen, right, that new age, that glimpse of the kingdom on earth. But now, since we have become convinced that conduct of this kind does not conform to the new era or the Adis Zemen, the new age of civilization, and, he says, and is also forbidden by the Holy Scriptures, to show the significance of the scripts, right, with our namesake, the Rastafari of the Rastafarians, our namesake, Kedemawi Haile Selassie. He says, we have arranged that the tezkar, the memorial service when somebody passed, should cease consisting of intoxicating drink and excessive amounts of food, and that instead the relatives of the deceased should have the absolution prayers performed and give, according to their means, some money to the priest for the performance of absolution. It should not, however, be forbidden to offer food and drink to the poor. That's a key thing right there. In other words, don't invite the priests over and get them all drunk and all, you know, gluttonous on food and all of that. But, however, it's to, you know, offer food and drink to the poor, provided this is done in moderation. So everything, as the scripture said, all things in what? Moderation. We also urge the bishops, especially all good things, we also urge the bishops and priors to preach in this sense. And then he speaks about when Prince Zenebe, when she died, he did this himself. He distributed, you know, gifts of money for the absolution rites among various churches and monasteries, and then many other people. So he didn't only preach this, the King of Kings only preached this, but he did this, and many people then began to do likewise. Now, to this point right here, that connects with Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28, this is the fifth point here. He says, since early times, it was the custom in some provinces for some of the relatives of a deceased person to manifest mourning. Now, it's one thing to mourn, right? You mourning somebody, you lost a loved one, right? You know, and condolences, you know, for those that have and those that would or will have by the time they hear this. You know what I'm saying? However, you know, to manifest mourning, you get that? Like, you can be mourning, but then you can manifest. So he's saying that since early times, it was the custom, not law, not even religion, though people may have done it religiously, but it was a custom in some provinces for some of the relatives of a deceased person to manifest mourning by cutting their hair, beating their breasts, and by general wailing. But now, I love what he says, but now, he tell you what the situation was, but now we have given instructions to the savants, to the learned, to go round the various churches and to preach that the family of the deceased should, apart from wearing a black patch on the edge of the dress as a sign of mourning, cease the cutting of hair, the beating of breasts, and wearing special mourning clothes. Hence, as the savants preached with diligence, the hopeless mourning for a dead person has gradually eased. Now, this is an important thing, His Majesty says right here in the 26th chapter of the autobiography, My Life in Ethiopia's Progress, Hiwete Na Ethiopia Rinja, like book one. Now, here to this part, just this a little background point of reference here. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28, where it says, y'all shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. Now, some might have already done this, maybe tattoos for someone who passed. Maybe you wasn't familiar with this, never heard this before, never knew it might have applied to you before. You know, that's why there is, you know, it says mercy triumph over judgment. There's grace there. So I want to point this out before we kind of go in on this, you know, but hopefully with the righteous balance right here. Y'all shall not. So the children of Israel back in them days and them times, and also in other cultures too, some might still do these things. They make cuttings on their flesh, right, for a departed one. Why do they do this? Well, it was a tradition. Their mommy, their daddy, their relatives did it. Everybody in their tribes did it when so-and-so passed. So therefore, when so-and-so passed, they're going to do the same thing likewise. That's how tradition kind of goes, right? And the intent of it is not overtly from the people's perspective, you know, at least those who might be more innocent in that sense, you know what I mean? And may have been led to do that. The intent is not evil. But after a while, you know, some things was good for that time, but it's not good for this time, you know? And this is what I compare what we have in Leviticus with the children of Israel, right, with what the King of Kings is saying in the autobiography that he instructed the children of the Ethiopians, right? And that's why I zoomed in on the hopeless mourning for a dead person, like where some Ethiopians, you know, in the kind of apostasy that's going on since 1975, still probably do these old customs, ignoring the teaching of His Majesty. But there was a time, right? It says, in his times, he shall shew. In his times, he shall shew who is the blessed and only potentate, right? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So he showed this, and what he showed is what we have here for the children of Israel coming out of the Tawi, coming out of the two lands, coming out of Egypt, right, with many different customs. Just Egypt was almost like America on a certain level. Back in them days, I'm talking about a place where many different peoples came in there, and from time to time, the ethnic people, the indigenous people, you know, wanted to regain control of their own thing for whatever reasons, for better or for worse. But the point is that they have come out of this, they've entered into a new relationship, right? This covenantal relationship as Jah's people, as the Almighty's people. And therefore, in this covenant, now remember, they entered into this covenant. After they entered in, they broke it with the molten calf. So by the time we get Leviticus, this is them after already breaking that covenant and having that covenant renewed to them, or a new covenant, even in the old covenant. So in this sense, more detailed instruction is coming out, like for them not to make markings or cuttings or even printings. These two verses where it says, y'all shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. This is the context here is for the dead. So when some ask, are tattoos evil or is that against the Torah? Some teachers will probably tell you, yes, all tattoos are bad. I would not say so based on the reading of the Torah, right? Those markings, those cuttings in your flesh to memorialize the dead, to go on in a hopeless mourning for the dead, right, with knowledge are not permitted. This is the context. You know, this is the context of this. The printings and the marks are like, one could say the tats, but it's not just saying tattoos generally, but saying tattoos specifically, context. For the dead. You know, like when you're reading a sentence, it has like a subject, right? And it has an object, right? And it has a verb. It might have an adjective and an adverb, but just the basics. There's a subject, right? Right? There's an object and there's a verb. And that helps us with the context. The context of verse 28 of Leviticus chapter 19, 28 is those marks or cuttings that many peoples and no doubt many of the children of Israel might have done that as well up to this time, were doing for the dead based on customs that we find throughout the world that other peoples basically do as well. The children of Israel said, you are set apart. Be y'all kedoshim, set apart. So though you did that before, don't go on and doing that, not in this relationship. Remember, it's all about relationship. See, they want to tell you about religion. Really, they want to tell you about their religion. But when you study even the Torah, it's about relationship, right? Whether we look at the Torah in its New Testament, but go to the groundation, the Old Testament sense, it's about relationship, right? That's why he signs off and says, I am Jehovah, I am the Lord, right? This one I commented briefly on, verse 29, do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore. That's interesting because that is not speaking to the woman. It's not speaking to the woman, right? It's speaking to the man. But now, is this only saying that Israel was doing this? No. It's like some things we're in Babylon. We're in the Gentile lands. So some things in the Gentile lands we can do, right? Just theoretically speaking. You go to Africa or many parts of Africa, some things that you can do over here, you can't do over there. Check. You know what I mean? But you did them over here. And some things you might not even do over there, not because the people don't do it, but you don't have the means to do it. It's a different relationship, right? But here is specifying not to prostitute one's daughter to cause her to be a whore, right? Lest the land fall to whoredom. It seems to be a symbiotic relationship that Jehovah points out in many areas of the scripture with how we treat one another and how our land will treat us, how we treat our woman and how our land will treat us. There's a symbiotic relationship right there. And it says, unless the land fall to whoredom. Why do you think America is becoming like a dust bowl again? Think about it for a moment in some ways. Food shortages, yeah, it's what they're doing, but also it's what they've been doing in the land that's causing the land to fail, all right? That's why you notice that some places where there was no people on it, the land just blossoms. People come there for a while, the land looks like blight. You know what I mean? You know, our vibrations affect, you know, the land. Right. And to some degree, vice versa. And the land become full of wickedness. Right. The land become full of ratchetness. Verse 30. Y'all shall keep my Sabbaths. Notice it says Sabbaths and not just the Sabbaths. In other words, we shall keep the weekly Sabbath, the seventh day, and we shall keep the seasonal Sabbaths. You know, like the three times in the year, the holy feast festivals. They are also considered to be Shabbat or Shabbaton, right? And reverence my sanctuary and have respect for his holy place. That's why when it talks about the woman or the man being unclean, it means that while they have these things, they cannot like march into the temple or the church or the tabernacle. They have to respect that space. It's almost like, you know, we all have a special dinner. What they call it again? What's that called? A bow tie, where people wear those bow ties and stuff, you know, like a dress up dinner. And then you come in there all casual. They're like, why are you disrespecting, you know, this event? You know, we're supposed to go and fellowship with others, right? In our spirituality, when we conduct it together, there's a certain order, an ordinance. Ani Yahuwah. Now here, I'm going to sum up right around here, but let's just touch on this. Regard not, verse 31, regard not them that have familiar spirits. You might have heard in the read, we said Obia. All right, we did a little vid on it, but that's basically what's interesting is that we know this term. They say it's an African term that come over here when they brought us over here, our ancestors, that is, respectfully. You know, they brought, I say they're our ancestors respectfully, but the Gentiles definitely disrespected our ancestors. When they brought them over here, we brought over some of these terminologies. I find it to be interesting that this term Obia right, actually finds its connection in this word in the Hebrew, the familiar spirits, you know. Neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am Yahuwah your Elohim. Now, what does it mean? Does it mean that people who practice this and say, well, this is their tradition, right? If they're not Israel, if they really, really, really are not Israel, you know, and not as the children of the Ethiopians who are likened to the children of Israel, then, you know, let them go off. Go off. Go off of this. You know what I mean? But that which is just, we can't allow these things to come in. It's just a plain, simple thing. It's like in your house, you may say, well, you're not against somebody doing it in their house, but you said not in your house. To be defiled by them, I be he who be your Elohim. Verse 32, the seal of this portion right here, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. The hoary head, you ever came across that in the King James Version? Ever wonder, what does hoary head mean? Hoary, H, not the W-H, not that whore, the hoary, H-O-A-R-Y. It means gray-headed, the gray-headed. Right, you shall rise up before the gray-headed. Let me just make this connection right here. Just one more connection. Looking at the time right here. Let me go to this psalm right here. Psalm 68. You know Psalm 68, right? Princes shall come out of right the two lands, the Tawi, Mitzrayi, right? Ethiopia shall stretch forth her hands. Yes, but in this very psalm right here. It's around the place where Garnet chanted this, and I think he pulled up on the rhythm right around that time. Yeah. Okay, yeah, the hoary head. It's in one of these areas. I'm looking at verse 21, but Elohim shall wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of such a one as goeth on still in his trespasses. So ones might say, well, the locks, I and I covered in this and that, but notice the hairy scalp, because even that hair, you know, was seen as an honorable thing, and the hoary head is the gray-headed, like, you know, the elders, you could say, right, the older ones who should be elders, and honor, right, and honor, notice that word, honor the face of the old man, right, and reverence thy power, Eloheka, right, Eloheka, thy Elohim. Right, I be he who be who he be. So I just feel it right there, just a little bit of reasoning, just going into some of the reasoning and, you know, possible right now applications. Of course, there's some areas that we would love to go into in a little more detail, but, you know, just due to the time right here on the Torah Thursday, Upper Room of Zion Thursday here. Let's come forward with, we have a song. We have a song. We have today's daily psalm. We have Psalm 142, right? 142 here, reason for the season. Psalm 142.
Psalm 142. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me.
מזמור קוף ממבט, משכיל לדוד, ביותו ומערה תפילה. קולי אל אדוני אזעק, קולי אל אדוני את חנן. אשפוך לפניו שיחי, צרתי לפניו אגיד, והתעטף עליי רוחי, ואתה ידעת נתיבתי, ואורח זו אהלך, תאמנו פח לי. הבט ימין וראה, ואין לי מכיר, אבד מנוס ממני, אין דורש לנפשי. זעקתי אליך, אדוני, אמרתי, אתה מחסי, חלקי בארץ החיים. הקשיבה אל רינתי, כי דלותי מאוד, הצילני מרודפיי, כי אמצו ממני. הוציאה ממסגר נפשי להודות את שמך, בי יכתירו צדיקים, כי תגמול עליי.
This world, remember now, lines of King David, Ark of the Covenant, Hebrew language, and you must, little children of the world, learn the Ashanti language, learn the ancient Hebrew language, learn the Twi, Learn cuneiform, hieroglyphic, New Orphic, Tamarians. Learn them languages there. Learn the Hamaric language. You see?
You see? The English language. See
the English language.
Join your mentality.
Join your mentality.
Sirach. Sirach. The prologue. King James 1611 version. The same things uttered in Hebrew and translated into another and other tongue have not the same force in them. Sirach, the prologue, King James 1611 version.
Here, 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 classic real poem. King James Version. Classic Steel Pulse. Yes, I.
Rastafari, what a relic this right here. Just let's go over this before we ride up with today's daily song. We're going to go to a version out of Africa, Afro-Shemitic language, the Hebrew, Afro, African Shemitic, you know. Yes, and also when we ride up with the Ethiopic, also Afro, African Shemitic. Not King James Version, just some of the relics right here. This Yah Version. I know King James Version because out of Africa came the Garden of Eden. I don't know if you pick up on some of the relics, right? Like hidden from me, I was never told. No way. Ancient prophets, black. Here it says black and gold. I thought I heard black and bold, right? Like Daniel, King David, and Abraham, Israel were all black men. I don't want to lose you. Here it says Japheth tried his best to erase, right, the ungodly parts, the godly parts we played, the godly parts that we played. I say he came and took and never mentioned in his books. No. Then the chorus, of course, this Yah version, I know King James version, because out of Africa, notice out of Africa came the Garden of Eden. Remember it said that there was a garden planted eastward in Eden and the rivers came out like with Ethiopia. Yeah, this Yah version, I know King James version, because out of Africa came the Garden of Eden. It's this verse here that caused me to say, I know I heard this way and this is the way I always heard it, but let me just go check and this is the word of it. It is here. It says in Esau's, right, and who in Esau's chapter, in Esau, let me bring it up again, Ray. Esau's chapter of his story, so little mention of you and me, I, right? We, rulers of kingdoms and dynasties, explored this earth for centuries. I don't want to lose ya. Rastafari, yeah. Phoenicians, Egyptians, and the Moors built civilization. That's for sure. Creators of what? Creators of the Aleph Beit. Creators of the alphabet. You know, the alphabet.
Rastafari. Abagada. Awagada. Taya. Kaya. Mana. Sai. Patada. Warasha. Ta. Ha. Ha. Ha.
Creators of the alphabet. While the West, illiterate, yeah. Chorus again, this Yah version. I know King James version, this Yah version, because out of Africa came the Garden of Eden. Then the chorus, African heritage, my slavery came and took its toll in the name of John Bulldog. If I'm correct, isn't that a name they used to call a metaphoric name for England or something like that, the British? Because, you know, yeah. Mother and daughter, Babylon, baby London, you know, it was the marketplace there, and then their children, you know, the Americans, you know, mother and daughter, Babylon, daughter of Babylon, they said we turned our backs on God, lost the powers that we had, has our backs against the wall, ask ourselves about to fall. Rise. Remember Psalm 82? Arise, O Elohim. Right, God. Hold on to your culture. This Yah version. I know King James version. Because out of Africa came the Garden of Eden. And then it kind of rides on right there. But that lyric right there, and this is from, I'm not going to say way back in the days, right? But this is Steel Pulse, ones and ones who know when the album came out. Right here, just looking at these quick relics right here, it doesn't give us it's copyright, but it doesn't give us the date of it. But still, we know this goes back to like the 90s, all up in the 90s. And here we have Rastafari, singers and players of instrument, telling you about Esau's chapter of history. Isn't this interesting? Because we hear nowadays, you know, a lot of the you know, other Israelites, you know, speaking about, you know, Esau. But here, within this tune right here, from this psalm, this chant, not the King James Version, right? You know, and this don't mean that we have to be Rasta pharisaical about it, but we have to understand, you know, the context, you know. But yeah, when the song come out, we'll get it, we'll get it. But anyway, my brothers and sisters, just to speak on that right there, the King James Version, not the King James Version, like to ride up right here, want to zoom in on today's daily psalm, right? So we have today's daily psalm. Today's daily psalm, Psalm 142, before we go through a midrash. It's a little study, you know, of today's daily psalm. It's a maskil of Dawi, right? Maskil is like a wisdom, a teaching, right, of David when he was in the cave and it seemed here tefillah. It is a prayer. So this is a plea for help. There's a pathos, so kind of a suffering tone, a pathetic or a suffering tone of the psalm. It is most appropriate to the occasion in David's life, Dawit's life, mentioned in the superscription. In the superscription, the first verse in the Hebrew, which is like a small type writing in the King James translation, which is Maskil of Dawit, Maskil le Dawit, when he was in the cave, Behyoto ba Me'ara, when he was in the Me'ara, Tefillah, a prayer. Right here, just going on, it says, but as a composition, it is certainly of a later date. So this is a breakdown what they're saying here, you know, in the academic reasoning. They're saying that according to the context of the psalm, what is mentioned and the superscription, it's a Davidic psalm. It's like this David psalm. But in the form that it is in this particular version, it appears to be a later, you know, some later Hebraic and Aramaic is contained in it. You know, like when we look at Old English, we can tell Old English is not today's English. You know what I mean? So this is how they're coming to this conclusion right here. Right? Not saying that we share this conclusion, but we can reason on it. A parallel may have been drawn between his dangerous plight and that of the people in the hazardous time during and after the captivity. So many look at this psalm to be linking like, well, you see what David was going through in that time, and it's like the children of Israel in the captivities. Even I and I can see this, even with I and I, the once lost, now found, right? The black and the brown, the beta Israel in the Americas and the Caribbean. In the same sort of sense, we can see ourselves as like David, you know, as that people, you know what I mean? As the people experiencing what that Messiah, the anointed David experienced, right? And even the greater David and the greater son. So it says a parallel may have been drawn between his dangerous plight and that of the people in the hazardous time, like we are after the overt slavery. Although the psalm, the chant is a personal cry, and the eye, there's the I, you know, like when we say I and I, there's the I in the psalm. The I is not the nation speaking as an individual. So it's best to read today's psalm based on a superscription as this is David when he was in the cave. And if you know the books of Samuel and you know, especially in the books of Samuel, you'll recognize there's these episodes that Dawit was going through where he was being hunted down. He had to hide in the highlands and in the caves and other places from ones that were seeking to take his life. It's like them slave catchers and all of that. So we're making that kind of a contrast there. So the I here, in some psalms when we have the I this, I that, it's not just an individual, but it's speaking, you know, it's speaking as a nation, right? Speaking as a nation. All right. 90 seconds, y'all, just for ones and ones and ones. Right here. Yes, I.
Real Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I of Ethiopia is the Almighty.
They explain to people exactly what it means being a Rastafarian. Could you explain to people exactly what it means being a Rastafarian?
I would say to the people, man, be still and know that His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I of Ethiopia, is the Almighty. Now, anyone have anything to say, come up, come and say, Lord, make me hear. What am I to say? Now, the Bible says so. Babylon newspaper says so. And I and I, the children, say so. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't see what kind of more reveal our people want more God for reveal to them. What them want? They want a white God. Well, God come black.
Mm-hmm. You know, listen, Bob.
Choo-choo.
Yeah, but listen, you know, a lot of people.
Of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things have been spoken of the O city of God. I'll make mention to Rahab and Babylon to them that know I. With the old Philistine Tyria with Ethiopia, it shall be said that this man was born there. And the highest himself shall establish the earth. Jah Rastafari.
And even that verse right there in the Hebrew, in the African Shemitic language, or Afro-Shemitic Hebrew, even brings out the divinity of that one that would be born in Ethiopia. Because, you know, in the translation, the King James Version is this man. But if you look at man in the KJV, man is italicized. You look at the Hebrew, man is not this, is this. So in reasoning and bringing out that, yes, is this no doubt a man, but more than a man. But here. With the psalm for today, 142, before we ride up in the Midrash to study, the writer of today's daily psalm makes use of other psalms. This is also noticed that there are verses, right, that are found elsewhere, like in other psalms, right, makes use of other psalms which he was acquainted with. This is a practice which is evident also to the argument that it was post-Davidic. Basically, what we call this is like a remix, that some tunes we know from back in the days, you know, and then there's like a new version of it being done. But it's known that this tune is much older, but maybe the versions that we have are the later versions, but even there's some of that archaicness within it. So just study the study of the Psalms. The Psalms, as you mentioned before, as the King of Kings mentioned in the autobiography, I think it's just important to emphasize this Davidic connection between David, right, of the scriptures and Kanamawi Haile Selassie on another level that most kind of overlook or haven't looked into here, where he says, since time immemorial, the kings of Ethiopia, just as they were responsible for the entire business of government, were also in charge of the affairs of the church. Right. And we pointed out how David in his time, remember, he brought the ark, you know, to Zion, you know, then also furthermore, he set the various Levitical orders so that all of the ones of the tribe of Levi and the priests in their proper season and time, there could be a rotation of the service. This continued in Solomon's time and also in the later return from Babylon time of the tribe of Judah. It was continued on to like 70 AD. There was a particular order of service. And one might ask, where did David get this particular authority? Well, it was that anointing, that Mashach, where he was anointed. That anointing by which he was anointed, the constitution of his divine majesty, the true constitution says, by the anointing which he has received, his person is sacred. And this is a very Hebraic, you know, one might say even Judaic saying. So I just point that out. That's another Davidic aspect, what we see both in the King of Kings of Ethiopia, Kanamawi Haile Selassie, right, and in the namesake in Dawid, in David, you know, from previous, what is written You know, so we see a very interesting manifestation there, because when he says that kings of Ethiopia were responsible for the entire business of the government or kingdom, they were also in charge of the affairs of the church. They would select persons from among the savants and the learned, and they would make appointments to as well as dismissals from. So we see clearly in the scripts where David, King David, Dawid HaMelech, where he regulated those things and he set such an order, right? That order was basically, we could say, the Holy Grail that would be followed ever since, Judaically, Hebraically, and his Psalms, the Psalms of David, were the core of the worship of, I'll say, of Israel during the United Kingdom time, or well, it's kind of UK, right? But during the Hebrew, you know, United Kingdom times, the northern 10 tribes and the southern 2 to 3 tribes, you know, Judah, Benjamin, the Levites aren't counted often as a tribe because they're the priestly holy functions. So he goes on to say they will select persons from among the savants and the learned and make appointments to as well as dismissals from office at the various churches and monasteries, and in general have the authority to control all their functions. But here's the interesting note His Majesty makes in chapter 26 of the autobiography about our planning and initiating gradual improvements. We see clearly in the scriptures concerning David and the Hebraic and Judaic priestly rites where David influenced that, you know, and he was from the tribe of Judah. I just want to point that out, but because he's that particular king, right? And then we get the King of Kings doing likewise among the children of the Ethiopians, reforms in the work of the clergy. But then he says, but with a gradual increase in government business and the occasional waging of wars. Don't we have the same thing, even scripturally, the wars that they had, you know, leading up to when David settled it and then Solomon could really build on it against the heathens in neighboring countries? They simply did not have the time to control in full the affairs of the church. Consequently, there were many things detrimental to the ordinances of the church, and we're now comparing this with the tabernacle, or what is called the church in the wilderness, the tabernacle, right? There were many things detrimental to the ordinances, how the order, how things should be done, right, of the church, the tabernacle, which had in error penetrated into the community of the clergy. So he doesn't say that the people were doing those. Look how the people, no, the blame is on the priests, like the priests and the Levites, and in Christian times, the clergy, and had by custom persisted, And he goes into a couple of points in chapter 26 where these particular corrections and upgrades were made. So with today's daily psalm, for a background of it, one can go to 1 Samuel chapter 24. And when it says, when he was in the cave, also Psalm 57 is seen likewise, right? They say this could be the cave at Ein Gedi. Ein Gedi, the well of the, this is Gedi. Gedi is like a, was it not a sheep, like a kind of a lamb, the Gedi, yeah, Gedi goat. I got to look that up. Ein Gedi, 1 Samuel, Shemuel, chapter 24, right? So the historical context, right there. So here, brothers and sisters and brothers, we're going to ride up right here, but let's just share this before we ride up with the reasonment here. David will still beat Goliath, and I and I as a collective David will still beat Goliath in the 21st century.
It is good that you are here to record this picture of me in my palace garden at Addis Ababa. People who see this throughout the world will realize that even in the 20th century, with faith, courage, and a just cause, David will still beat Goliath.
Shalom, Chavarim. Shalom. Today's daily psalm
according to the royal orders, Ethiopian Hebrews, and he has the order of Malachi, Tzedek, today's daily psalm, Mizmor Kof, Mim Beit. Kof Mim Beit. Kof Mim Beit. Here. Shalom, Chavarim. Shalom, today's daily psalm, according to the royal orders, Ethiopian Hebrews, and he has the order of Malachi, Tzedek, today's daily psalm, Mizmor Kof, Mim Beit. Kof Mim Beit. Kof Mim Beit. Here. Psalm 142, today's daily psalm, Mizmor Kof Mim Beit. Kof Mim Beit. Kof Mim Beit. Kof Mim Beit. Here. Psalm CXLII. Psalm 142. Here. A Midrash. On today's daily psalm, Mizmor Kof Mim Beit. Kof Mim Beit. Maskil of David. Maskil le David. Maskil of David. When he was in the cave. A prayer. With my voice I cried to the Lord. Here, today's daily psalm, Hebraically, verses 1 and 2, the Aleph and the Beit verse, today's daily psalm. Maskil le David, be hiyoto ba me'ara tefilah. Maskil of David, maskil le David, when he was in the cave. Be hiyoto ba me'ara, in the me'ara, ba me'ara, when he was in the cave, tefilah. Tefillah, a prayer. Here. Maskil le David. Bi hiyoto ba me'ara tefillah. Shlomo, Solomon. Solomon said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is set up on high. Here. Mishle Shlomo, the mashal of Shlomo. Proverbs, parables, the proverbs of Solomon. Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of Yahweh, Yahweh, Jehovah, is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is set up on high. Migdal Oz, Shem, Yahweh, Bo, Yarutza, Zarika, Wi, Nisgav. The name of Jehovah is a strong tower. Migdal Oz, Migdal, tower, Oz, Migdal Oz, Shem, Yahweh. Name of Yahweh Shem Yahuwah, the name of Jehovah, Mikdal Oz, a strong tower. Shem Yahuwah, Bo Yarut, Bo, in it, in him, in it, Bo Yarut, runneth, Tzadik, Tzadik, righteous, justified, the righteous one. V'nisgav, 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 and is set up on high. Migdal Oz, Shem Yahuwah, Bo Yarutza Tzadika, Witniskab. That is to say, when the righteous, when the Tzadik are in trouble, they do not torment themselves, but put their trust in Yahweh, in Yahuwah, in Jehovah. So too, Scripture says, even in Psalm 34, Hebraically, verses 1 to 2, a psalm of David, when he changed his demeanor before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. I will bless Yahweh, Yahweh, Jehovah, at all times. His praise, his eyes, shall continually be in my mouth. Mizmor, Mizmor Lamei Dalet, Mizmor Lamei Dalet. Psalm 34, here, the Aleph and the Beit verse. Lidawid. De shanoto eta ta'emo lifnei avi melek. Waya ye gar shehu, waya yelak. Abarka et Yahuwah bekol eit. Tamid tehilato befi. Mizmor lamed dalet of David, lid David. De shanotoa eta ta'emoa, when he changed his behavior. De shanoto eta ta'emo lifnei Abimelech, lifnei, before, in the presence of, in the face of Abimelech. Wayakar shehu wayelak, who drove him away. Vaygashehu, and he departed. Vayelak. I will bless Yahweh Jehovah at all times, at all I was. Ebarka et Yahuwah b'kol eit. His praise shall continually, always, tamid, be in my mouth. Tamid, tehilato, his tehilah, his elilta, his praise, his eyes, is tehilato, befi, be, in fi, in my fi, in my fe, pe, in my mouth. Mizmor lame dalet le David. Bishanoto etat almoa lifnei avimelech. Wayagar shehu awaylak. Ibarka et Yahua bekol eit. Tamida tehilato befi. Likewise, when David fled before Absalom, he composed a mizmor, a psalm, a chant to none, no one other than to HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, than to the Holy One, the Set Apart One, blessed be He. And when David was in the wilderness of Yehuda, of Judah, he called to mind the name of none, of no one, none other than HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, than the Holy One, blessed be He. For whenever David found himself in trouble, he put his trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the Holy One, the Set Apart, the Sanctified, the Isle One, Baruch Hu, blessed be He. When David was in the cave, he cried out to none, to no one other than to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it is said, even here in today's daily psalm, Mizmor. Of Mim Beit, Psalm 142 here, the Aleph and the Beit verses, the first and second verses, Hebraically, Maskil of David, when he was in the cave, a prayer. With my voice, I cried, I cried out, Jehovah. Mizmor of Mim Beit, of Mim Beit, Maskil le David, Bi Yoto ba Me'ara Tesila. Oli, Eli Yahuwah, Azak, I shrieked with my voice. Oli, my voice, Eli Yahuwah, Ella Yahuwah, to Jehovah, to Yahweh, Ezak, I shrieked with my voice to Jehovah. Maskil Dawid, Bi Yoto, Bam Arat Fila, Oli, Eli Yahuwah, Azak. What is meant by the words maskil of David? What is meant by maskil le David? They mean that while Saul and David were in the cave, ba me'ara, in the cave, David meditated, and saw that no man stands firm by virtue of his wealth, by virtue of his wisdom, or by virtue of his strength, But what does sustain him? Tefilato, his prayer. David understood, his skill. This after he meditated, after he iditated, and thereupon said that nothing but prayer, tefillah, does man good. Hence, maskil le David. Hence here, a maskil of David. Here, midrash note on today's psalm, Mizmor Kof Mim Beit, Psalm 142, on his skill, here, coming from the root sakal. By reading this, masakil, also from the Hebrew root sakal, is taken to mean understanding. His skill, circumspection, understanding, understanding, skill. David understood his skill. He understood this, therefore he composed a maskil le David. He understood his skill this after he meditated, iditated, and thereupon said that nothing but prayer, does a man good. Hence here, maskil le dawi bi yoto bab ara tefila. With my voice, I cried, I shrieked to Yahweh, to Jehovah. With my voice, I make supplication to Yahweh, to Jehovah. Koli li Yahuwah ezak, koli li Yahuwah eta chanan. With my voice, koli, koli. With my call, with my voice, with my sound, my word sound. Koli li Yahuwah, illa Yahuwah to Yahweh, to he who be, who he be. Ezak, 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 I shriek, ezak, koli li Yahuwah, ezak. I shrieked to he who be, who he be, koli. My voice with my voice, Eli Yahuwah, to he who be, etachanan, etachanan. I make supplication, etachanan. I make supplication for grace, for chana, etachanan. Koli Eli Yahuwah, ezak. Koli Eli Yahuwah, etachanan. Why? Lama, why did David, twice say, with my voice? Why did David twice say, Koli, with my voice, with my sound, Koli? Likewise, why did David twice ask for Ha'el, Ha'el, for the Almighty's mercy? In the verse, even the verse from Psalm 57, Hebraically, the second verse, the bait verse that reads, be merciful to I, O El Elohim, O Elohim, be merciful to I, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. Chaneni Elohim, chaneni, be gracious, be merciful. Shohan, shohana, chan, grace, mercy. Chaneni, chaneni, choneni, Elohim, choneni, be gracious to I, choneni, Elohim, O Elohim, O Creator, O Judge, O Elohim, chaneni, be gracious to me, be gracious to ani, be gracious to I. Chaneni, Elohim, chaneni. Choneni Elohim, choneni. Lamaze? Why? Because David meant this. Be merciful, be gracious to I, that I fall not into the hand of Shaul, into the hand of Saul. And be merciful, gracious to I, choneni, that Shaul, that Saul, fall not into Yadi, into my yad, into my hand. So too, with my voice I cry to Yahweh, hey, with my voice, with my vocal, with my word sound, I cry, I shriek to he who be, who he be. Koli Eli Yahuwah, Ezak, Ezak, Ezak. That I fall not into the yard, the hand of Shaul, of Saul. And with my voice, I make supplication, call for mercy, for grace to Yahweh, hey. That Shaul, that Saul, fall not into Yadi, into my hand. Koli li Yahuwah, etachanan, etachanan. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. Here, 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 today's mizmor, today's chant here, Hebraically the gimel, or the gamel, the third verse right here, here, here. I pour out my complaint before him. Eshpok le fanayo sihi. Eshpok le fanayo, or some might read le fanav. Eshpok le fanav sihi. Eshpok, I pour. Eshpok, I pour out. Le fanav, le fanayo, before him in his presence, in his perception. Sihi, sihi, sihi. My complaint, my siyach, my complaint, my meditation, my agitation, my complaint. Here, here, here. I declare before him my trouble. Arati lefanayo agid. Eshpoka lefanayo sihi. Arati lefanayo agid. I declare agid. I agada agid. I declare before him lefanayo my trouble. Sarati, my anxiety, my sara. Sarati. Eshpoka lefanayo sihi. Arati lefanayo agid. So scripture says right here, here, here in Psalm 102 in Mizmor Kof Beit, Kof Bayit, Kof Beit. Psalm 102, here, here, Hebraically the Aleph, the first verse. Scripture says, a prayer of the afflicted when he fainteth, and pours out his complaints before Yahweh, before Jehovah. Tefila le'oni ki ya'itof we lifnei Yahweh yishpoka sichi we lifnei Yahweh yishpok sichi, a prayer of the afflicted when he fainteth. Tefila le'oni ki ya'itof, and poureth out his complaint before Yahweh, before he who be who he be. We lifnei Yahweh yishpoka sichi, his complaint, his agitation, his meditation, his complaint. And Hannah said in 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verses 15 to 16, I poured out my soul before Yahweh, Yahweh. Out of the abundance of my complaints and my vexation have I spoken heretofore. Wahaya kiya hira bita le hita palela lifne Yahuwah we eili shomera eta piha. Here the fuller verse, 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12, right here. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before he who be, that eili, that eili marked her mouth, with Eli Shomereta Piha. Here. Verse 15 and verse 16. Here. 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 15, full of 4, KJV. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before Yahweh, before Yahuwah, before Jehovah. Wata'an Hannah. Wa tomer lo adoni isha kshata ruach anoki we yayin we shekar lo shatiti lo shatiti wa eshpoka eta nafshi lifnei Yahuwah. And Hannah answered, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I pour out my soul before he who be who he be. But I have poured out nafshi before Yahuwah. Wata'an Hannah, and Hannah answered. Watomer, and said, Lo Adoni, no, my Lord. Isha keshat ruach. I am a isha, eshet, or said of a keshat ruach, of a sorrowful, of a afflicted ruach, afflicted spirit. Lo Adoni, isha keshat ruach, anoki, I myself, with yayin and wine, with shekar, with yayina, with shekar lo, shatiti, I have not drunk wine or strong drink, wa eshpok, and I poured out, wa eshpok, etanafshi, Lifnei Yahuwah, I poured out nafshi, my soul, my psyche, lifnei, before, in the face, in the presence of Yahuwah, lifnei Yahuwah, in the presence of Jehovah. Here, verse 16, full of four. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto, heretofore. Ala titena eta amatika lifnei bata belial ki merov sichi we ka isi di barti ada heina. Here. Do not count your handmaid as a worthless woman. Or here. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial. Alatitain, don't give. Alatitaina eta amatika. Eta matika, amataka. Thy handmaid, lifnei. Person, a present person of bat, daughter, Belial. Bata Belial. Ki, for. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, out of the abundance, ki may robe, for may from robe, rove from the nothingness, ki merov, ki merov sichi, from the abundance of sichi, from the abundance of my complaint, my siyach. Siyach is a meditation, iditation, a musing, a meditation, a complaint, a musing, a contemplation, by implication and utterance. It can be in a meditative sense, like a babbling, a communication, a complaint, an iditation. Some places translate it as a prayer or a talk, but here, meditation, iditation. Ki meirov sichi, for from the nothingness of my siyach, my sichi, my iditation. Where ka is si, where ka is si. And grief, and my ka'as, ka'isi, ka'isi, my ka'as, my ka'as, my chaos, my ka'asi, ka'isi. Here we have ka'as, 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 ka'as. We have anger, vexation, provocation, or grief. Vexation usually is the sense that's brought out. Vexation, right, from ka'as, to be angry, to be vexed, to be indignant, to be wroth, to be grieved. Sense of the grief, and the grief is brought out here in Hannah's words, ki merova sichi, where ka'isi, dibarti, I have spoken, dibarti, I have spoken, ad until heina, dibarti, ad heina, I have spoken until now, because of the nothingness of my meditation and my vexation, my agitation, my vexation, I have spoken until now. Ki meiro sichi wi kaasi kaasi dibarti adahena dibarti. I have spoken adhena. I've spoken hitherto. Hence, here. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. Eshpoka lifanayo sichi. Aratia lifanayo agid. I pour out my complaint before him. Eshpoka lefanayo sichi. I declare before him my trouble. Zarati lefanayo agid. Hear today's daily psalm. Hence these words. And Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, the Holy One, blessed be He, blessed be the name, replies, even in the words of Psalm 55, Hebrew, the 23rd verse that reads, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Hashlech ad Yahuwah yehavecha v'huwa yekalekalecha lo yitena le'olam amota latzadik. Cast thy burden up on he who be who he be. Hashlech al Yahuwah yehavecha, and he will sustain you. V'hu with and who and he himself with who ye kalikaleka ye kalikaleka ye kalikaleka ye kalikaleka ye kalikaleka and he will ye kalikaleka the eye ye kalikaleka with who ye kalikaleka lo yitena leolam, and he will not give forever. Lo yitain leolam mot to be moved lats adik for the righteous, the movement. He will not suffer the movement of the righteous forever. But the Hebrew sense, bringing out the Hebraicism, the Hebraic sense of this, lo yitain le'olam mot latzadik, he will never, the sense of le'olam, the sense of like forever, world, also has the sense of never in this context. Like he will never, ever, lo yitain le'olam, lo yitain, not to give, not for him to give, lo yitain le'olam, he will never give mot, to be moved, right, maweta mota latz adik for the tzadik, for the righteous. Hashlek al Yahuwah yehabeka wuhua yekaleleka lo yitena leolam mota latz adik. When my spirit fainteth within me, thou, that I knowest my path, in the way wherein I walk have they hidden a sneer for me, have they hidden a sneer for I. Hear today's psalm, Mizmor Kof, Mim Beit, Kof Mein Bayit, Psalm 142, hear, the Dalet verse. When my spirit fainteth within me, thou, that I knowest my path, in the way wherein I walk, have them hidden a sneer for me. Be'hita ateif alai ruchi. When my spirit fainteth within me, Behita ataif. Behita ataifa alai. Upon I fainteth against I alai. Alai ruchi. My spirit fainteth against I. Behita ataifa alai ruchi. Thou that I knowest my path. Weata ya daita ne hiya bati ne. Nitivati. Thou knowest my nitivat. Thou knowest my path. Wa'ata yada'ita nitivati. In the way wherein I walk, bi orach zu. In the orach zu. In the way in which halek I trod, bi orach zu. Halek. Have they hidden a sneer for me? Have they hidden a sneer for I? Tamnu pach li. Tamnu, they have hidden a pach, a fach, fach. Tamnu fach li. Tamnu fach li, fach. A sneer, fach. An animal trap, fach li. For me, for I. Behitat efa alai ruchi. We ata yada'ita nitivati. Be orach zuai haleka tamnu afachli. Maze, what did David mean by the words? In the way wherein I walk, have they hidden a sneer for me? What did David mean by the words? Be orach zuai halek tamnu afachli. In the way wherein I walk, have them hidden a sneer for I. He meant to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Holy One, blessed be He. All my warriors, tell I. Send forward thy hand against Saul, against Shaul. But Libi, my heart tells me, according to the words of 1 Shmuel Samuel 26 and 6, who can put forth his hand against Yahuwah's Mashiach, Jehovah's anointed, and be guiltless? Wayomer la anashayo chalila li yemeyo wa ima eise epa hadavar haze la adonia liya mshiach yahua li shiloach yadi ba'u ki mshiach yahua hu. Here the full verse, First Samuel chapter 24. Here we have chapter 24 verse 6, and he said to his men, Jehovah forbid that I should do this thing to my master Adoni, Jehovah's anointed, Jehovah's Messiah, to stretch mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed, the Mashiach of Yahuwah, of Jehovah. Wayomer la anashayo chalila li meyowaima eise eta hadavar haze la Adoni. Lima Shiach Yahuwah Li Shaloach Yadi Ba'u Ki Mashiach Yahuwah Hu. And here the Midrash verse. In the Midrash, the verse is cited as 1 Samuel 26 and 6, but here in the KJV is 1 Samuel 26 and 9. First Samuel 26 and 9 in the KJV, corresponding with the Midrash in the Hebrew. 1 Samuel 26 and 6, corresponding to 1 Samuel 26 and 9, KJV, full. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against Jehovah's Messiah, against the Lord's anointed, and be guiltless? Hear. Wayomer David illa Abishai, Allah. Tashachitehu, al tashchet, ala tashachitehu, destroy him not, ala tashachitehu, ki mi shalacha yadoa, biya mashiach yahua, v'nika, and be guiltless. David said to Abishai, Wayomer David illa Abishai, do not destroy him, ala tashachitehu. As we have in the Psalms, Al Tashchet, do not destroy. Here we have David saying to Abishai, Al Tashchitehu, destroy him not, do not destroy him. Al Tashchitehu, ki yamiya shalach yadoa bi mashiach yahuwah, v'nika, for who can For who can put forth his hand? Key for me, me who? Key for who? Key me, shalach, me shalach. Who can stretch forth yado? Who can stretch forth his yad? Key me shalach yado. Be Mashiach against the Messiah of Yahuwah of Jehovah. Winika, and be guiltless, and be empty, and be clear, and be pure, and be free, and be innocent. Winika, and be clean. Bringing out the Hebraic sense of guiltless. Vayomer David el Abishai, Allah tashchitehu, ki yemi shalach yadoa, bimashiach Yahuwah, winika. Hence, hear, even in today's psalm, Mizmor Kof Mim Beit, when my spirit fainteth within me, thou, I knowest my path. In the way wherein I walk, have they hidden a snare for me. Be hita et efa alai ruchi, v'ata yada'ita ne tibati, ve'orach zua ahaleka, tamnu fachli. Look on my right hand and see. For there is no man that knoweth me, that knoweth I. Hear. The hey verse of today's psalm is Morkov Mim Beit. Hear. Look on my right hand and see. For there is no man that knoweth me. There is no man that knoweth I. Habeit yamin urei ve'ein li makir. Look on my right hand. Habeit yamin. Habeit, scrutinize. Look carefully. Scrutinize. Habeit yamin. Look on my right hand, on my yamin. Urei, and see. Command to a male to see. Urei, urei, and see. Habeit yamin. Urei. For there is no man, we ain li, and there is none for me. I actually don't say no man, but there is none for me. We ain li, makir, that knoweth me Hebraically in the sense of that recognizes me. It's used in even Ruth chapter 2, verse 19, for one who befriends, a sense of who knoweth me, makir, who recognizes me, who befriends another. Look on my right hand where the champion should be standing to defend me, to defend I. Habeit yamin, orei, and see. Wein li, none for me, makir. None befriends I, none recognizes I to befriend I, none knows I in the sense of none recognizes I. Habeit yamin orei, ve'ein li makir. He meant, David meant, except for thee, I. Ata, I have no one that acknowledges me, that acknowledges I, and no one and none stands to my right. But such is thy, the I, faithfulness, emunateka, that thou, the I, art the right hand of the needy. As it is said even in Psalm 109, Hebraic with the 31st verse, because he standeth at the right hand of the needy to save him from them that judge in the sense of that condemn his soul. Kia ya'emoda li min. Evyon, because he standeth at the right, limin, at the yamin, limin, of the Ebyon, of the needy, of the Ebyon, the Ebyonites, the Ebyon, kia ya'emoda limin Ebyon, le hoshi'ah, mia shoftei nafsho, to save him from them that judge his soul, le hoshi'ah, to save, to hoshi'ah, le hoshi'ah, Lehoshia, mi shoftei, from the judges, nafsho of his soul, mi shoftei nafsho, ki ya'emod, for ya'emod, he stands, ya'emod, for he stands, ki ya'emod, limin, for the right, to say at the right, ebyon, at the right of the ebyon, at the right of the needy, lehoshia, mi shoftei, to save from the judges, the shoftim, to save from the false accusers, the condemners, mi ashofte nafsho, of his psyche, to save. Ki haya emoda lemin ebyon, lehoshia mi ashofte nafsho. Hence, here, David said, even in today's daily psalm, Mizmor Kof Mim Beit, look on my right hand and see, seeing, sight. For there's no man, there's none that knoweth me, that recognizeth I. Habet ayamin, ore, ve'ein li makir. Habet ayamin, ore, ure, ve'ein li makir. Refuge fails me. No man careth for my soul. I have said, thou, the I, art my refuge. Hear, today's psalm. Hear. Verses 5 and 6, Hebraically. Refuge fails me. Fails I. No man careth for my soul. No man careth for her. I have said, thou, the I, art my refuge. Abada manosa mimeni. Eina doresha lenafshi. Za'akti eleka Yahuwah. Amarti ata machsi. Chelki be'eretza ha'chayim. Full of verse, full of folk. Here. Continue from verse 5. I have no way to flee. Avad manos amimeni. No man careth for my soul. Ein doresha lenafshi. There is none that seeketh, that inquires, that studieth to the state of the fears of my soul, my psyche. Ein doresha lenafshi. And here, the sixth verse. Za'akti eleka Yahuwah. I have cried, or more better, I have shrieked. Za'akti eleka Yahuwah. I have shrieked to thee. O he who be, who ye be. Amarti, I have said. Amarti, ata machsi, ata the I, machsi, my refuge. Ata machsi, chelki, my portion, my lot, my portion, chelki, be'eretza ha'chayim. Chelki, be'eretza ha'chayim. My portion in the land, in the eretz, be'eretz ha'chayim, in the land of the living. David said, when I entreated thee, Ata, for a refuge, it was refuge from Harasha, from the ratchet, from the wicked, and not from Shaul, not from Saul, nor from the whole of Israel, but in this hour, refuge fails I. I say, thou, the I, art my refuge. Abad manosa mimeni, ein doresha lenafshi. Za'akti lecha, Yahuwah, amarti. Ata machsi. Refuge fails me. Abad manosa mimeni. I say, amarti. Ata machsi, thou, the I, art my refuge. I cried to thee, to the I, O Jehovah. I said, thou, the I, art my refuge. Hear. The wow way. The wow, the vav, the sixth verse. I cried. Za'akti eleka Yahuwah. Za'akti. I shrieked. Za'akti eleka Yahuwah. To the I, O Jehovah. Amarti. I have said. Amarti. Ata machsi. Ata machsi, I art machsi, my refuge. When David was imprisoned inside the cave, when David was bihiyoto ba me'ara, in the me'ara, and Shaul and Saul were standing outside at the entrance, David said, Adoni, my Lord, I beseech thee. Even here, words of today's daily psalm, verses 7 to 8, Hebraically. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver I from my persecutors, my false prosecutors, for they are too strong for me. For I bring my soul, bring her out of prison, that I may give thanks, young for Isis, to thy name. Attend to my cry. Hak Shiva, Hakshaba Ella Rinati, Ella Rinati, Rinati, to my Rina, to my cry, to my shrill, right, to my singing, to my cry, to my Rina, Hakshaba Ella Rinati, Kia Daloti Meod, for I am brought very low key. Daloti, Daloti, very low, low. For low I me'od, for very low I have become. Ki daloti me'od, deliver me from my persecutors. Hatzleini me'ya rodfai. Hatzleini natzal, natzal ani. Snatch me, snatch I. Hatzleini me'y from rodfai, from my pursuers. For those who run I down, rodfai. Me'y from rodfai. Hatzleini, hatzil ani. Save in the sense of deliver here is from the natsal in Hebrew to snatch. So hatzil, snatch, ani, snatch I, hatzilei ni, me rodfai, from my pursuers, my persecutors, false prophets, for they are too strong for I. Ki amtsu, ki amtsu, mi main ni, ki for amtsu, for strong, mighty, mi main ni, from me, for they are too strong for me, for I. Ki amtsu mi main ni. Hotzia, hotzia, bring exodus, the sense of exodus. Hotzia, hotzia, bring her, bring she, bring my soul out of prison. Hotzia, mia masagir, mi masgir, from the masgir, from the prison. Nafshi, my soul. Hotzia, mia masagir, nafshi, that I may give thanks, young for Isis, to thy name. Lehodot, hodot, hodot, toda, hodot, Isis, thanks. Lehodot, to give thanks, to give Isis, acknowledge. Lehodota eta shemeka, lehodot eta shemeka, give thanks to shemeka, to the I, male name. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem. For this, for saving me, for saving I, thou, Atta, wilt receive crowns. For it is said, even in today's Psalm, Mizmor, Mizmor, Kof, Mim, Beit, Psalm 142, Hebraic, the 8th verse, the righteous shall bestow crowns because of me when thou wilt deal bountifully with me. The righteous shall bestow crowns because of I when the I will deal bountifully with I. Hear, hear, hear. Hebraically, the 8th verse, the second part of the 8th verse, the righteous shall crown themselves. Other translation brings out the sense of the righteous shall crown themselves because of me, because of I. For thou wilt deal bountifully with me, with I. Be yakatiru tzadiki. Be yakatiru tzadiki. Bringing out the sense of the righteous shall crown themselves because of I. And I liverance will cause the righteous, the tzadikim, the tzadikan, to be filled with exaltation. Halel elilta, since it implies their vindication, their justification. Also, the phrase also brings out the sense of because of me shall the righteous crown thee, from Hebraically, Hebrew two truths here, because of I shall the righteous crown the I with praises, with eyes. On account of I, the righteous shall adorn themselves with crowns, will rejoice triumphantly. Be. Here we have not ki, for, because of, but in me. Be. Yakatiru tzadiki. The righteous shall crown themselves, shall crown. It has a sense of shall crown, they shall crown. They shall crown themselves, they shall crown the I. Be yakatiru, yakatiru, the keter, yakatiru, tzadikim, tzadikim, the righteous. Ki, for, tigmol, tigmol, the I, rewarding, dealing bountifully. Tigmor, alai, alai, upon I. Tigmor, alai. Tigmol, tigmol, alai, kia tigmol alai, deal bountifully with I and I and I and I and I. It is also written, even in Psalm 57, verse 3, I will cry to God Most High, to God that accomplisheth it for me, for I. I will cry to God Most High, to God that accomplisheth it for I. Hear Mizmor non zain, non zain, non zain. Psalm 57, hear the Gimel, Gamel, the third verse. Ekra l'Elohim Elyon, la'el gomer alai. I will cry to Elohim Elyon, to Elohim, to the highest Elohim. Elohim, the highest. Ekra l'Elohim Elyon, to El, la'el, 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 to the Almighty. La'el gomer, gomer, the one who gomer, who accomplished, fulfilled, who gomer, gomer alai, upon I, who accomplishes it for me, who accomplishes it up on me. Ekra l'Elohim Elyon, la'el gomer alai. Here, God Most High, Elyon, right? Most High, Elohim. We have Elohim, l'Elohim Elyon, the judge, bringing out the Elohim, the judge, and the ruler of the world, Elyon, Elohim, Elyon, Elohim, the highest, whose prerogative is to administer justice. And in the bait, the second part of the verse, it says, to God, Hebraically, La El, to El, to the Almighty, the Hebrew El, the Mighty One, the Almighty One, La El, the El, who has the power of executing his will. La El, Gomer, 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 to accomplish the object. Here in the Hebrew, the object is unspecified. Gomer, accomplish what? La El, the El, Gomer, the El who accomplish, who does, alai, upon I, for I. He accomplishes whatever he determines to do, alai, for I, and I. Ekra, l'Elohim, Elyon, La El, Gomer, alai. And again, it is written even in Psalm 119, Hebraically the 17th verse, where it reads, deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live, and I will observe thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live, and I will observe thy word. Gamol al avdecha echyeh ve'eshmera devarecha. Deal bountifully with thy servant. Here, fulfilling the Midrash here with Mizmor Kof Yod 8, Psalm 119, here in the Gimel section right here of Psalm 119, here the 17th verse, Gimol, deal bountifully, Gimol, Gimol al, upon Avdeka, Gimol al Avdeka, Echyeh, 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 brought out in translation that I may live, Echyeh, in the Hebrew, I live, but moreover, I will live. Ech yeh, I will live, even the sense of I will revive, right? Revivication. Ech yeh, not ech yeh, not ech yeh is I am, I will be. Ech yeh, Asher, ech yeh. Here we have ech, ech, ech yeh, ech yeh, not ech yeh, ech yeh, and ech yeh. Here we have ech yeh, ech yeh. I will live, I will revive, I will live. Gemol al avdeka, ech yeh. We eshmera, and I will observe, I will shemor, I will hedge about, I will guard, I will protect, I will keep. We eshmera, I will shamar. Devareka, thy devar, thy word. Devareka, thy word. The beginning was the word. Gemol al abdeka echyeh. We eshmera, devareka. Echyeh v'eshmera devareka. Also here, a better rendition, some suggest, is grant to thy servant that I may live. Gemol al abdeka echyeh, grant to thy servant that echyeh, that I may live. V'eshmera devareka, so that I may keep thy word. Gemol al abdeka echyeh, Ve'eshmera
devarekha
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 My advice to all,
advice to all,
advice to all,
advice to all,
is to fulfill the Ten Commandments.
Fulfill the Ten Commandments.
I shall never fret.
Them must think that them can't stop me from sin.
Cause I saw the light, no more dark. Bless them, put me in the light. Yeah.
One man me fear, ready Messiah. Me a boy believe in a prayer. Me step on the battlefield without no steel. All when set a fire, all when me nah no food no water. The love me never yet shatter. Me a thought is real, the pain me a feel. Them a kill with sons and daughters. Tell dirty mind, bad mind fi fence with. Them coulda never live fi bench with. Cause to just give the praise fi a sense of the so. We basket no empty. Enough time them try fi tempt me. Must it show me a lead by. And I sign and I tie, stop me time from me make me empty. But a one man, me fear of the father. Me a boy, I believe in a prayer. Me step on the battlefield without no steel. All when set a fire, all when me nah no food, no water. The love me never yet shatter. Me a thought is real, the pain me a feel. Them a kill with son vendetta.
Say what you want, say, say what you feel. Me no best friend, so we coulda never deal. Real, I mean, try stopping me. You are send me to the battlefield. Press where you want, press, and you are steel. Run where you want, run, and you are wheel. Then straight up, then I coulda where you feel. Man a soldier, so me coulda never kneel.
One man me fear, ready Messiah. Me a boy, I believe in a prayer. Me step on the battlefield without no steel. All when set a fire, all when me nah no food, no water. The love me never yet shatter. Me a thought is real, the pain me a feel. Them a kill with.
Shalom, Chavarim. Shalom.